Good morning, church family. Oh, good morning, church family. Thought I was here alone for a moment. What a blessing it is to always be in the house of the Lord on Sunday. And it's always a humbling experience for me when I get a chance to bring God's word to his people. Brother Dave, great song. And his grace still amazes me every single day. I am totally undeserving of any grace that God gives me. But thank you for that song. I'm going to talk to you today about oil. Sounds like an interesting topic, doesn't it? I see some of you looking like, wait a minute, oil in a church? Now, when we think of oil, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Of course, the oil we have in the earth. Crude oil. The oil that helps run our cars and runs machinery. The oil that is so rich in deposits in the earth that we haven't even tapped into all the oil that God has left us. We think about the oil that has actually sent nation against nation and has caused people to go to war over oil fields. We think of that kind of oil. But even though God has given us that natural resource of oil for our good, somehow or other, us as human beings have turned oil into something evil. We've turned it into something greedy. We've turned it into something that we'll fight and kill each other for. There's always some kind of price war or something like that. Now, those of you who know me know I do not get political. I'm not about to give you a political speech. But I wanted you to see when we think of oil, we think of the oil on the earth and what we can do with oil. What I want to share with you today is what God oil can do, what God's oil can do. So we are going to marry two words today. We're going to talk about oil, and we're going to talk about obedience. Now, you may be thinking, those two words don't go together at all. Oil and obedience? How does that work? I'm going to show you in a few moments. But first, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've made, that we can rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just look to your word today. Teach us from your word. Teach us something that we can apply to our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you will take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, it's probably in one of the clean part of your Bibles. 2 Kings chapter... Pastor got that one. Yeah. There are certain parts of the Bible we just don't read and study as much. True? Yes. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at the first seven verses. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back and look at it in its historical context, and then I want to show you what God is going to teach us spiritually from our passage today. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his servants." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not just get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and you'll pour out into all of these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one more vessel left." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word today. So, we're talking about oil. We're not talking about crude oil. We're not talking about cooking oil. We're talking about anointing oil. But let me put this in historical context for you, okay? Elisha's ministry took place between the years 850 and 800 B.C., 800 years before Jesus got here, or in our modern time, 2,800 years ago, approximately. Long time ago. But to set the stage as to exactly what's happening here and to put us back in that time frame, I need to explain to you what verse 1 is all about. It says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. I don't know how often you've come across that phrase, sons of the prophets. It's only in the Bible during the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. After that, they disappear. So who were these men? They were a group of men that were appointed underneath Elijah and Elisha, and they helped with the spreading of the word. They helped with ministry duties. There was a group of them, and we have a widow here that is talking to Elijah that says, your servant, my husband, he was one of these sons of the prophets. And I don't think it's a stretch to say, do you remember back in 1 Kings 19, what happened with Elijah? Wasn't he kind of off by himself and he was wondering why he was the only one left? And what did God come and say to him? He said, Elijah, you're not alone. There are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. This man who passed away was one of those 7,000. It's the only place he can fit into. He was one of these sons of the prophets. And so now he's dead. And now his wife has a problem, because he died leaving a debt behind. And so let's look at this again. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out. She sought out Elijah. She cried to him. She was exasperated. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant loved the Lord. He was a believer. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his servants. Now, mothers, fathers, if you were in that situation, wouldn't you cry out for any kind of help you could get? Here is the situation, and let me explain this. If you go back in the Old Testament to Leviticus 25, it was law that if you owed a debt, you went into service to the person you owed the money to, or the creditor, and you had to serve them until the debt was paid. Can we understand why this woman is so frantic? Her two children, her only children, are about to be taken away from her. So let me explain to you how this went. It says in Leviticus 25 that if you owed somebody a debt, you went into their service until the debt was paid or until the year of Jubilee. I don't want to make this too deep for you, but here's what the Jubilee was all about. The Israelites had a law which was every 7 years they could not plant in their fields. 6 years they would plant, 6 years they would cultivate the ground, but on the seventh year, the ground had to rest to replenish itself. Sound familiar? God created in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day. That principle carried along. Now, to get to a Jubilee year, you had to have seven cycles of 7 years. That equals 49 years. The Jubilee year was always the 50th year. So think about it. If the law stood that this woman's sons could be taken off as servants and not be released until the Jubilee year, it's quite conceivable that they could be in bondage, in servitude, for 50 years. Do you see the panic that this woman is having? And I think that any of us would reach out any way we can to stop our children from being put into that. Yet that was the law. And we may say, well, that doesn't sound very fair. I didn't write the law. God did. But let's say, and we don't know specifically what date this was, but let's say this was at the beginning of one of the first cycles of seven. It's possible that her children could be in bondage for decades until they got out or until the debt was paid. And so that's the situation we have ourselves in. She's already a widow and she's lost her husband. She has two children to take care of and she's in debt. That's the picture we have to see. So let's move on. Verse 2. Elisha says to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? Why was Elisha asking that question? He was asking her, what do you have in the house that you can use to pay off the debt? What can we do to get you out of debt so that your children are not taken into servitude? What do you have? Look at her reply. Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Just a jar. Just a jar of oil. We're not talking about a huge tub of oil. We're not talking about cooking oil. We're talking about a small vial of oil. How do I know that? Because her husband was one of the sons of the prophets. And if you recall, throughout the Old Testament, when someone was being anointed, do you remember when Samuel went and anointed Saul as the first king? He put oil on him. Do you remember when he went to go and anoint David in the field? What did he do? He poured oil on him. It was anointing oil. The oil was used as a ceremony to give authority to those who were the priests and the prophets and those who were rulers. And so all the prophets would have had oil put on them. All the kings would have put oil on them. And so when we're talking about oil, we're not talking about this huge vat of cooking oil. She probably had some little tiny jar, little tiny vial of oil, and that's all she had in the house. That's all she had to be able to pay things off. So look what Elisha says. He says something kind of bizarre. He says, go and borrow vessels from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels. Don't just get a few of them. Get as many vessels as you can. And specifically, he says empty vessels. We'll see that shortly, why it's empty vessels. Now, obviously, if someone came to you and knocked on your door and said, can I borrow all the jars or containers that you have, and all of your jars were filled up, would you be likely to give them to them? No. But if they're empty, you say, here, take all my empties. I don't need them. That's just surface. But God has a deeper meaning when he talks about empty vessels. It has to do with you and me. And so she hears this from the man of God. And look what she does in verse 4. He continues his instructions in verse 4. You're going to go to all the neighbors and you're going to get as many vessels as you possibly can. Then you're going to go in your house and you're going to shut the door behind you and your sons. And you're going to pour out into all these vessels. And you shall set aside what is full. Now, how is that possible unless there's a miracle coming? How can you have a small little vial or a small little container of oil and you're gathering as many vessels as you can? Can you imagine the scene? All these vessels in her house, and she's going to fill all of these from this little bit of oil. How is that possible? It's not possible in the natural world. You and I can't do that. Only God can do that. But what this woman did, now think about it. If you were in that situation, there's two ways of thinking about it now that I'm pondering it. If someone told me something this crazy, this bizarre, for the sake of my children, would I just go ahead and do it? Because maybe it's a chance that they don't get put into slavery for years. So maybe I would do it. But there's a greater thing here. This woman is going forth in faith. Think about it. If a man of God, if someone came up to you and said something crazy like this, I have a little bit of oil, you tell them, in my house, just a little bit. My husband used to be anointed by it. I want you to go out and get all the vessels you can, and then you're going to take it and you're just going to keep pouring from it. You're going to fill all these vessels up. Sounds impossible. But look what she does. Verse 5. So she went from him. She shut the door behind her and her sons. And they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. There doesn't seem to be any hesitation. She just went right out and did. Could you imagine knocking on your neighbor's door? Can I have all the empty jars you can give me? Can you give me any pot? Can you give me anything that I can hold in? Because this man of God says, I'm going to multiply oil or whatever. Whatever you would tell your neighbors. That is a walk of faith. That is an act of faith. And doesn't God sometimes in our lives tell us to walk with Him in faith? Even when we don't understand what He wants from us? Even if we don't understand what God is saying? I'll just bring a personal note. Many of you know that I came from Delaware 6 years ago. When I was in Delaware, I had a music career. I was happy. I loved living on the East Coast. I was an hour from the beach. I mean, life was pretty good. But God came along and He said, you are going to move to Illinois because I have a woman there that you're going to marry, and your new ministry is going to be in Illinois. Your ministry in Delaware is over. Now, when you get that kind of word from God, you have to understand, I was broke. I was living on pennies, no bank account, no security. I was working two jobs. And my first thought was, Lord, how am I getting to... First of all, I have no desire to live in the Midwest. That's first. Second of all, I'm not ready to get married again. And third of all, I don't have two nickels to rub together. So how are you going to do that, Lord? You see, when I'm reading this, and I'm reading this woman's going out and gathering all these empty vessels, and she's believing that this little bit of oil is going to fill up all this. That's the situation that I found myself in. God was telling me something that just didn't make sense. And yet, here I am 6 years later, and I'm preaching to you. And I'm associate pastor of the church. And I'm happily married to the love of my life. Now, did God know what he was doing? Absolutely. Could I understand it in my limited intellect? No way. Not a chance. I can imagine this woman as she's going from door to door gathering these vessels, trying to explain what she needed them for. So now, out of obedience, and let me just say this. I said at the beginning we were going to talk about oil, and we're going to talk about obedience. How do we marry it together? Are you starting to see the picture? Obedience is the key to blessing. Had she not done this, had she not gone out and gotten all of this, the miracle we're about to see would have never happened. If she had said, "Elisha, you're crazy. I'll figure out some other way," we would have never seen this miracle, and we'd never be learning this lesson today, that obedience is the key to blessing. Do you want to be blessed? We need to be obedient. You want to be blessed? You obey what God tells you to do, even if it sounds crazy. So when he came to me and he said, "You're moving to Illinois and you're going to get married again," and okay. Now, what was interesting, and we'll get back to the story. Right after that happened, I remember calling Crystal on the phone that night. And I said, "I'm moving to Illinois. I'm going to marry you." There was some silence on the other end for a little bit. I think she had picked the phone up. She says, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not kidding." I said, "I have no idea how I'm going to get there. Don't know when I'm going to get there. But the Holy Spirit told me I'm coming to Illinois and we're getting married." Okay. So we just went on that faith. Don't you know, right after that, mysterious checks with money started showing up on Crystal's end. It turns out that the job that she was working for, she had some dividends that had come due that she didn't know about. And she got called into HR or payroll one day, and they're handing her all these checks for all this money. "God provided a way for me to get here. I didn't have a dime. And yet through that extra money, he gave us just enough." And I'll tell you something else. We drove out here in a convoy. We rented a van and put what was left of my things in the van. And I drove out in the car with our three animals. And my car, my beloved Lincoln Town Car, my favorite car, got us here to Illinois. Then it died. And it was sitting in the parking lot, dead. God had enough left in that car to get us here. Now, did God know what he was talking about? Suppose I had stayed in Delaware. Suppose I had ignored God. Who knows where I'd be right now? I certainly wouldn't be here preaching to you. I certainly wouldn't be happily married. But suppose I ignored God. And we think about this woman. She could have very easily ignored this crazy request to go get all these vessels, but she didn't. Let's watch what happens. Verse 5. "She went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured." Can you imagine the assembly line? Son number one, bring a vessel. Set it in front of her. He takes this little vial and she fills it up. Then she sends it to son number two. He takes it away. "Bring me another vessel." And we got an assembly line. "Bring me another vessel. Bring me another one. And another one. Another one." And this oil keeps getting multiplied. The same way the pastor told us not long ago. Jesus with the bread and the fish. What did he do? He broke it off. It kept multiplying. And what happened? When all the people were fed, there were still 12 baskets left over. Enough. One basket for each disciple. So no one went hungry. Now keep that in mind as we're looking at the rest of this. As we're thinking about empty vessels. As we're thinking about how God supplies. The oil kept pouring until we get to verse 6. It says, "When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' He said to her, 'There's no more left. We've filled everything.'" Look what happens. "And the oil stopped." Only God, just enough oil to fill every vessel that was there. Wasn't shortchanged, didn't come up with three empty ones at the end of the line. He filled every single vessel. It only stopped when all the vessels were full. And I submit this to you, that if that assembly line was still going, that oil would still be pouring. That oil would still be pouring as long as there was a vessel to fill up. And what are we seeing here? I think the oil would have kept going and kept pouring. And here is another lesson that God wants us to see here before we close up. God's grace, His mercy, and His blessings continue to pour out as long as there are willing vessels ready to be filled up. Did you hear that? God's grace and His mercy and His miracles and His healing and everything else that God is available to us as long as there are willing vessels. You see, we need to empty ourselves of us and fill ourselves with Him. That's what God is showing us spiritually. It's not just about pouring some oil. No, that's just a picture. This is a metaphor. Do I believe it actually happened? Of course it did. If God says it happened, it happened. But the bigger picture we always need to look at is, what is God telling us spiritually? How does it relate to our life today? What does it mean? If I want God's oil, if I want His blessings, if I want His grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation, if I want to grow in my walk with Jesus, if I want to know Scripture better, if I want to be a better pastor for Him and everything else He calls me to be, then I need to empty myself. I need to present myself to Him as an empty vessel so that He will fill me with His oil. That is what we're learning here. That is what God wants us to know. And so I believe in the picture, as long as there was an empty vessel, the oil kept pouring. The oil kept pouring. And so the question we have to ask ourselves today is, are you an empty vessel or are you full of yourself? Are you so full of you that you can't let God pour into you? Or can you, each day when you get up, say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about me, Lord. Fill me, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Beloved old hymn, one of my favorites. If we are full of ourselves, if we are self-righteous, if we think we know it all, if we think we can outguess God or do what we want to do in our life without submitting to God first, I say to you, and I say to myself, that our vessel is closed off, it's got the lid on it, it's tight, and God can't pour into us. And so He's just going to go pour into the next one that is empty and hungry for the Word and want God and want Him in our life. Now, here's one more lesson we have to learn. Verse 7. Now look what happens. The miracle has occurred. Then she, this poor widow, who's not poor anymore, she's got lots of oil, told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. That's the first thing he said. You go and sell the oil. You're not going to hoard it, of course. You're going to sell the oil, you're going to convert it into cash, and then you're going to go to this creditor and you're going to pay your debt. And guess what? Your sons are off the hook. Now you are debt free. God blessed her so much that she did not have to go and watch her sons go into servitude. She didn't have to sell her house. She didn't have to sell herself. God provided. That's the first thing He did. And then, look at the blessing. Because she was willing to be obedient, it didn't stop there. He says, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Wow. Some people call that overflow. Some people call that going beyond the normal blessing. She would have been blessed enough if she was out of debt and didn't have one more vial of oil and one more dime to her name. God got her out of debt. But God doesn't do that. As long as we are willing and be open vessels to Him, He will pour into us and pour into us until we're overflowing. I think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A beloved psalm. Says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And that's why I titled my message today, My Oil Runneth Over. I want to be an empty vessel. I want to be open so God will pour into me, not only to fill me up, but overflow me. I want that oil to overflow me so that it spills onto other people. So that when people see Thomas, they see someone who has given his life, his soul to Jesus Christ, who was serving God, even moving a third of the way across the country when you don't have a dime in your pocket, obeying God whatever He tells you to do. As we build our faith, as we empty ourselves and let Him fill us up, He will keep pouring oil into us. So when God pours a blessing into us, and here's the last lesson I want to share with you today. When God pours a blessing into us, let's take a lesson from what Elisha told her to do. First, you go and you pay your debts. Go and take care of everything you owe, and then you live on the rest. We sometimes, when God blesses us, we sometimes have a tendency to hoard things. Sometimes we don't pay first fruits, or we don't do what we're supposed to do. We don't give God the first fruits. We don't give God the first of everything He gives us. We figure out what we need for our house, and God gets what's left. That's not the way it works. Elisha is telling us, go and pay your debts first. You go and give to who you owe. You share what God gives you. You share it with someone else. That's what he's showing us. So when we keep it to ourselves, if we didn't give God his first fruits, or however you understand that to be, if we don't go and help other people and we're hoarding it to ourselves, are we an open vessel or are we closed? If God blesses us and say, God, thank you for that pile of money. I'm just going to do what I want to do with it. Well, there was a guy that I preached on not long ago. Not here. It was online. Remember the man who had all the crops and everything in his barns? And he said, well, my barns aren't big enough for all the stuff I've got. So I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones. And I've got enough and I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry for years to come. What did God say? You fool, tonight your soul is required of you. You didn't have years. You didn't have years. You hoarded it. You kept it to yourself. You didn't share it with other people. When we see Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish, he was giving to other people. And what I want you to see in both of those stories, this here with the oil and Jesus with the bread and fish, he did not run out of bread and fish until everybody was fed. The oil didn't stop running until every jar, every pan, every whatever container was filled. And only then did the oil stop, when everyone is filled. Where are you at today? Are you filled with yourself? Are you empty and ready for God to pour into you? Is there a need you have? Is there a prayer request? Is there something that's been on your heart? Turn it over to God. Let him pour into you. Let us look at this. And no matter what God may be telling you or bringing you through, know that God always has our best interest at heart. We may not always understand it, but he has our best interest at heart at all times. And he wants what's best for us, not what we want for ourselves. Don't be a closed-off vessel. Don't be a vessel that has your lid on so tight and think that you know everything, or you have a tiny little hole where he can only drip into you. Keep your lid open. You want to be filled every day with the glory of the Holy Spirit, with the blessings of God, and whatever he has for you. And then, when you get that blessing, give it to someone else. You receive, the Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. And that's what he's telling this woman to do. Go pay your debt, and you and your sons are going to have enough left over to be, you're going to be comfortable. Now you can live on the rest. And it's all because she did it from faith. Her oil, her blessing, ran over. She had even more than what she expected. Out of debt, kids could stay home, and she could still live a comfortable life, all because she obeyed God. Let us be also those empty vessels that God wants us to be. He's ready to pour into us, but he's not going to pour into something that doesn't want him. He will pour into empty, willing vessels. Let's be those vessels. Would you bow your heads with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word today, Lord, and our desire is to be those empty vessels, those empty and willing vessels, Lord, that we would accept what it is you have for us. We don't always understand, Lord, what you're saying to us or where you're sending us or how it's going to work out. And ultimately, Lord, that is not up for us to know. We must trust you. We must be obedient to you because obedience is the key to blessing us. Obedience. We thank you for the example of this woman and her sons who were obedient to the word from the man of God, Elisha. And as a result, she not only got out of debt, but she was also able to live comfortably with her sons. We thank you for this example today, Lord. Help us to be those vessels, the willing and open vessels. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.